Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey friends, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. This episode is brought to you by our friends at VCA. Thank you so much for supporting us. We are going to chat about advanced cancer diagnosis that lead to more targeted treatment. So all these different types of cancer diagnoses that we have, and how does it lead to more targeted treatments? And with us today are none other than Dr. Barbara Powers and Dr. Barbara Kitchell. How are you, my friends?
I'm
very
fine.
Well, Adam.
Yes, we're doing well. Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure. Thanks for being here. Really excited to learn more about this. So to our listeners out there, a little bit about Dr. Barb Powers. She worked as a pathologist and researcher in cancer and radiation pathology at Colorado State University before becoming director of CSU's Veterinary Diagnostics Laboratory. At CSU, she and her colleagues validated an ELISA for chronic wasting disease and served as and established one of the country's largest CWD testing centers. During the more than 30-year stint at CSU, she was also president of Colorado Veterinary Medical Association from 2003 to 2004 and president of the American Association of Veterinary Lab Diagnosticians. In 2018, she joined ANTEC. Her areas of interest are oncologic pathology, equine endometrial pathology, oral pathology, and orthopedic pathology. And Dr. Powers has authored and co-authored, get ready for this, more than 210 publications, mostly related to small animal oncology, radiation pathology, or orthopedic pathology. In her quote-unquote free time, Dr. Powers enjoys spending time with her dogs, Summer and Tango, I love these names, in the mountain log home that her husband built, and she loves hiking and gardening. Oh my goodness, congratulations on all your accolades there.
Thank you.
Welcome. Also with us is Dr. Barbara Kitchell. Dr. Kitchell graduated from Purdue University School of Veterinary Medicine in 1979. Dr. Kitchell completed an internship at the University of Minnesota, then residencies in small animal medicine and ecology at UC Davis from 1981 to 1985. She started an oncology referral practice at Specialty Veterinary Services in Berkeley, California. And in 1989, she embarked upon her graduate studies while continuing to work part-time as a clinical oncologist. She received her PhD degree from the Department of Comparative Pathology at UC Davis in 1994. Dr. Kitchell completed a postdoctorate fellowship in the Department of Comparative Medicine, Stanford Medical School, and she taught clinical and comparative oncology at the University of Illinois School of Veterinary Medicine, followed by a faculty position at Michigan State University as full professor and director of Center for Comparative Oncology. She held this post until joining VCA Veterinary Care Referral Center in 2013. She's the director of residency training programs for VCA, as well as staff oncologist at VetCare. Dr. Kitchell is an ACVIM diplomat in the specialties of internal medicine and oncology. She is past president of the Veterinary Cancer Society and past chair of the Board of Regents of the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine. And she is also author of over 100 scientific publications, abstracts, proceedings, book chapters, handbooks in her field of veterinary and comparative oncology. And like most veterinarians, she has a menagerie of dogs and cats. So that's what we love to hear. Well, let's get into it, my friend. So Dr. Powers, what are you most excited about with the field of oncology today?
Well, the most exciting thing about today is the advancements in our diagnostic techniques. So long time ago when I first started, you know, sometimes it would be cancer, no cancer, or sarcoma versus carcinoma. But now with all the new different diagnostic techniques, we're getting more into what's called personalized veterinary medicine. So that each cancer in a dog is unique. And so like we can make a diagnosis of, say, osteosarcoma, but then we want to know what's the genetic profile of that dog. So we can take that sample that we've taken and looked at in pathology and do a complete genetic analysis of it and find out what are the prognostically significant gene mutations that occurred. It can help us with diagnosis if we had a question in the diagnosis. And then finally, what kind of therapy is best to use for those specific gene mutations. So that's kind of really new in the field of oncology there and diagnostics. And that's very exciting to me.
Very exciting. What about yourself, Dr. Kitchell?
I have to echo what Dr. Powers said. We're transitioning now in veterinary medicine following the personalized medicine approach in humans, where it's not just what the title of the cancer is, but really what made the cancer happen in this individual patient. And therefore, are there any signatures that we could exploit in making the therapy more effective and less toxic for the patient. So it's just a really new threshold for us to cross as clinicians, and having both better immunohistochemistry and molecular profiling and all the newer things that allow us to really understand what the tumor is what really guides our therapeutic choices to do the best we know how for an individual patient's care.
So wait, you're talking a lot about oncology, crossing over with a little bit of pathology there, you know, molecular biology, really cool stuff. So how do each of you see that partnership between the oncologist and the pathologist? And has it changed? How has it changed? What are your thoughts, Dr. Powers?
Well, that communication between the oncologist and the pathologist is really important, because I'm looking at a piece of tissue on the slide and they're looking at the whole animal. And so I could make a diagnosis that might not quite fit with what they're seeing clinically. And so, you know, that communication avenue needs to be open and free so they can call me up. We can discuss the case over the phone and say, you know, what else could this be? And what other immunohistochemistry stains could you use? Or what other things can we do to make a better diagnosis in case it's just not fitting with what I'm seeing versus what the clinician is seeing?
I would say without an accurate diagnosis, we're kind of at sea. So we really, really depend on our communication with the pathologist to help steer us in the right direction for a patient. I mean, I just had a patient this week where the pathology report said this is a round cell tumor of some kind, and it could be a melanoma, and it could be a plasma cell tumor, and it could be a histiocytic sarcoma, and it could be a lymphoma. And each of those diseases has its own treatment pathway. And so having the ability to ask the pathologist to go deeper and say, okay, I need more detail about this so I can really arrive at the right therapeutic strategy for this patient. And that's where picking up the phone and talking to the pathologist really, really makes a difference for our patients.
Yeah, I mean, more specifically, Dr. Kitchell, so then tell me a little bit like some of the types of causes where this kind of information really helps. So you talked about the round cell, you know, case as an example. What are some other ones where you have to say, can you just share with me a little bit more, pathologists, about where we're heading with this?
Yeah, for example, to me, the field of lymphoma care has morphed to know whether this is a B cell or a T-cell lymphoma, the two broad categories. And then within those categories, can we say more about what species of T-cell this might be? Because that does make a difference in selecting how aggressive the therapy should be, and sometimes even what drugs we should use. There's emerging evidence that a B-cell lymphoma should have a different treatment pathway than a T-cell lymphoma. And not all the T-cells need aggressive therapy. There are indolent forms of T-cells, like T-zone lymphoma, where we can do very little and have a very good long-term outcome. So we don't want to over-treat, and we want to direct the therapy toward what's going to be most effective for that patient.
Yeah, definitely. And Dr. Powers, there must be some really cool recent advances in veterinary pathology that help leverage the oncologist, to Dr. Kitchell's point too. What are some of the ones that we should keep under our radar that we know of?
So from the beginning, you know, like I kind of said before, it was just make a diagnosis of cancer, no cancer. But now a lot of the pathology that we do is actually digitized. So like I can sit in my office here and look at slides on the computer and I don't look under the microscope anymore. Well, one great advantage about that is that I can send that picture, that slide or that case to another pathologist and say, I'm not sure what this is. You know, what do you think it is? And so we get multiple different opinions. And that is very helpful sometimes to get new perspectives from different people on a tumor that you're not quite sure about. So that's one thing that has been in place for, you know, probably about 5 years, and more labs are doing it that way. And that's also good for teaching purposes and sharing it with the clinician. And another thing that Dr. Kitchell had mentioned and I'd mentioned a little bit was the immunohistochemistry that has come on board in the last 15 years or so. But more and more different types of immunohistochemistry is always coming up. So different antigens that we're looking for, different markers of the tumors. And so that's another advance. And again, like we mentioned in the beginning, the personalized veterinary medicine where we're looking at genetic alterations, gene mutations, that's really something that is just starting to be very important now. And that can help us with the diagnosis even. So a certain set of mutations might be more suggestive of some tumors versus another. And so even when we're stumped with the second opinions and immunohistochemistry, we can then go to the genetic profiling and help us with the diagnosis.
I was just going to say that genomic profiling, Dr. Kitchell, has probably been such a great tool to your advantage for your cases that you're seeing. I'm sure that's gotten just the way in which you practice oncology from 5 years ago to where we are today, right?
Oh, absolutely. And there are two companies now, commercial companies, that are doing molecular profiling for dogs. Unfortunately, the genomic studies in cats are lagging behind, and we really need to catch up for our cats. But it allows us to understand what exactly went off the rails in this cell that let it become cancerous. And is there any type of therapy out there that we can use? You know, the new molecular medicines in human medicine are just vastly exploding. There's probably about 280 individual small molecular inhibitors, and we're just barely getting started in veterinary oncology to apply those tools to our patients. But we're already seeing benefit. So it's a case of, you know, getting up every day and learning new things and going forward. And it's a very exciting time to be practicing as a clinical oncologist because the advances are just coming so quickly now.
Yeah, so fast, especially in oncology and pathology. So to have, you know, this communication, just like we were talking about, has got to be so important. And keeping that pet parent still in the loop as well as the general practitioner is equally important, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this too, Dr. Kitchell. Do you think more clients are more interested in or aware of the genomic sequencing like Dr. Powers is talking about? Do you think that there's a general uptake in pet owners inquiring more about these things?
Yeah, we have some very, very involved and informed clients. And, you know, as this becomes widespread in human medicine, people will come in saying, you know, I would like this for my animal companion because this is the cutting edge of medicine. They did it for me. I'd love to see what we could figure out about the dog. And that has been that partnership with clients who are forward-looking and engaged and really want the absolute tip-top therapy we can put together. That's really rewarding in a field like oncology where we have lost so many patients to have new avenues and new hope of better outcomes is so exciting.
Yeah, I can only imagine. What are your thoughts, Dr. Powers?
So yeah, more and more clients are asking, sometimes they ask us directly, you know, our company directly, can you do something more for this patient for this diagnosis? And one of the great advantages is that the biopsy sample that we have where we've made the diagnosis, you can use that very same sample for the genetic profiling. So the clinician doesn't have to go back and do another biopsy or take another sample because we've already had that there. And so we send it off to those labs that will actually do the genetic profiling. But we get more and more requests from that as time goes on. It is a bit expensive, but if the clients are dedicated, they find out about it and they ask us. So yeah.
Well, this is fantastic. And this is what we love about veterinary medicine, on how quickly things are evolving and changing. And, you know, to the veterinarians and to the listeners, this is what we kind of geek out on. We love the science. We follow the science, the research and the data. But, you know, it's just fun. It makes practicing really interesting to know that all these wonderful tools are available for the greater good of our patients. So it's wonderful. So thank you so much, Dr. Barbara Powers, Dr. Barbara Kitchell, for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. This is fun. Thank you so much, Adam.
Yes, thank you much.
You're welcome. And thank you to our friends from BCA. And of course, thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We always are welcoming. And hey, listen, we're always looking for other guests too. So if you're interested on being a guest, just reach out to me either on Instagram or follow us on Facebook. And we'll be happy to get you situated here on the Vet Blast podcast. So our listeners and Barbara Powers, Barbara Kitchell, thank you for all your work. Please stay safe out there, everybody. Thank you again. Stay awesome. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.